Well, this morning I hope to be able to deliver a message on moving from Hebron to Zion, being a friend of God. We thought we were going to do this back in February, but the Lord had other plans. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to read out of 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Then all of the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, "Behold, we are your bone and your flesh. Previously, when Saul was king over us, you were the one who led Israel out and in. And the Lord said to you, 'You will shepherd my people Israel, and you will be a ruler over Israel.' So all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron. And King David made a covenant with them before the Lord at Hebron. And they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he became king, and he reigned 40 years. At Hebron he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months. And in Jerusalem he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah. Lord, I ask that you would show us how to pursue you, that we might truly be known as friends of God, in Jesus' name." In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, Paul wrote, "Honor widows who are widows indeed, but if any widow has children or grandchildren, they must first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family and make some return to their parents, for this is acceptable in the sight of God." See, David was a model for us moving into the oikos of 1 Timothy 5:4. Remember, we said oikos was what Jesus said he was going to do. "I will oikos my ecclesia. I will build my church." He said, "I will take a lineage," oikos, "a family line, and I will build a ruling and legislating body." And David is the model for that, that God ordained that we would see this family of God as a shepherd and an ecclesia, or a ruling body that shapes nations and disciples nations for his glory. Hebron means intimacy or friendship. It comes from the Hebrew word chabar, which means league or association, a federation or confederacy. It means something that pictures a covenant, the joining together of a people for a purpose. That's what Hebron means in its transliteration. The joining together of a people for a purpose. Hebron is a picture of us and the Lord. We are joined to him for a purpose, not just to get out of here and be in the sweet by and by in rocking chairs with the angels. He has a purpose for his ecclesia in the earth. It's not a coincidence that Abraham, the friend of God, was buried at Hebron, because Hebron is first and foremost a place of intimacy and friendship. So what does the place of oikos, the place of family and intimacy, teach us? Number one, intimacy is the highest goal. Intimacy is the highest goal. Hebron is the highest point in Israel. Geographically, it's the highest. The highest place is the place of friendship and intimacy. That's the place Father is calling us to. He's not saying come down here. He's saying come up here. It is the greatest commandment of all. Love one another. That is Hebron teaching us intimacy. When we come together, before we can do anything, we must first connect with him. If I am not connected with Christ, all of this is weird. It means nothing if I am separated from the author of life. Before we can preach, teach, pray, worship, or whatever, we have to connect with our Messiah. As we go to the high place, the windows start opening. Windows opened this morning when the instruments began worshiping the Lord. I don't know if you heard it, but I heard the choirs of heaven singing, and then out of that came the tongue that was released. Portals start opening. This region is one of the only regions where a portal has opened over the region for reformation of the region, and that portal is about to open again. When the portal opens, revelation begins to flow. We are in the season. Pentecost is all about revelation. It's one of the three things of Pentecost. The revelation of the Torah, the revealing of the law of God, was on Mount Sinai on the first Shavuot, the first Pentecost. The assignments begin to come when the portals open, and we begin to hear clearly where we need to be. Last night we heard some testimonies of people who were told to go here and do this, and the Lord brought divine appointments to them, or sit on your porch and someone would walk by that needed a word. Listening to the assignments that God has comes when we open those portals. And then the commissionings begin to happen. You are commissioned to go. And when we become friends, when we reach that place of intimacy at Hebron, the Lord commissions us, as he said in his word, to go into all the earth. The higher we go, the more everything else comes into proper perspective. All of the stuff that nips at our heels, all of the things that can't thrive in rare atmospheres begin to pale in comparison to the King of Glory. You must allow the Lord to take you on his journey to prepare you. You don't get to choose the race. He chose the race that he has for you to run, because he wants to prepare you for the higher place of authority and government and warfare as the ecclesia. He doesn't want us just being couch potatoes. He doesn't want us confined into our living rooms and into our worship centers. He wants us to be discipling everywhere that we go. But first, we have to allow him to take us to Hebron, a higher place of friendship and intimacy with him. I am not satisfied with yesterday's intimacy. I am not satisfied with the level of friendship that he gave me yesterday, because I still have not seen his face. God is taking us to a place where we will realize that the throne of grace is really the throne of the King. Too many of us have been afraid to walk in the role that we are. You are kings and priests. It is not a gender-specific term. If you are a child of God, you are a king, which means he wants you to come into the very place of his kingship and intimacy with him. Flowing out of that place of intimacy and worship is a place of dominion. We cannot be afraid to take the dominion that the king wants us to take. As we heard this morning, his glory every place where we go. They are not two different things. The throne of the King and the throne of grace are one and the same throne. And we've tried to separate them in our theology and in our mindset, saying that I'll get grace here and I'll get authority here. We only get authority by grace. Number two, we have to war for intimacy. We have to war for intimacy. In Joshua chapters 14 and 15, we see that Caleb was the first person who had to war at Hebron. He had to war to get his inheritance. Hebron was the home of Arba. Arba was the father of Anak, which means strangling necklace or chain. How would you like to have that name? I'm a strangling necklace, and this is my son. That's who Caleb had to go up against. Arba was the greatest of all the giants. Now, Caleb was 82 years old, so none of us has yet reached our prime for war. I don't see anybody in here that's 82. After Abraham had been at Hebron, And he called the place Hebron. The enemy stole it. Arba moved in. He set up headquarters there, and he named it after himself, calling it Kiriath Arba. Isn't it interesting that the giants, the principalities and the powers, want the high places? We had a spiritual encounter a couple years ago where we went to the 12 highest places, teams all at once around this region in a 50-mile radius, and took back the high places as part of reopening that portal for the presence of the Lord. Because the enemy comes in and he wants to take the high places and force us down into the valleys. Arba set up his throne in the high place, and Caleb had to go to war for his promise, and he conquered the giant, took back the high place, and renamed it Hebron, the place of friendship. We need to take back those places that the enemies, the giants in our lives, or our family lineage have taken and separated us from intimacy with the Lord. See, the greatest war that you have is the war for intimacy. The thing that Satan tries to steal from you more than anything else is that place of intimacy with the Lord. That's why in the book of Acts, the spirit of Python attacked them on the way to the place of prayer, the way to the place of intimacy and communion and fellowship with the Lord. The enemy always tries to take you out of that secret place where you are strengthened, refreshed, and loved by the Lord. You have to war for, because the first love will be contested more than anything else. My love for the Lord is going to be contested more than my love for Casey, more than my love for Bill and Becca and Sam and Lily and Jess and Steve. My love for the Lord is going to be contested more than my love for anything in the earth, because the enemy does not want us to have that intimacy that allows us to rule and reign as kings, ambassadors of God. It is not about warfare first. It is not about speaking, preaching, working, traveling. It's about the high place where you soak first in the presence of the Lord. If this on Sunday morning is the place where you soak, I thank God that you have a place to soak, but you need something a lot more than you get here. Because this is horizontal fellowship. This is not vertical fellowship with the King. It's about the place where you get to look at him, you get to feel him, you get to smell him, you get to touch him, you get to taste him, you get to see him, you get to experience his embrace. It's all about the place where you stare into his gaze and you look into his eyes, you taste what he tastes, you smell what he smells, and you see and feel his heart, and you touch what he touches. It's a pretty sweet experience when you get to that place and the enemy doesn't want you there. I have to contend with my flesh. I have to contend with my family. I have to contend with my calendar. I have to contend with everything to get to Hebron. When you come back to that first love, you find that it's the highest place. And it is the place, just like Caleb, that you have to war for. Guys, you know what it's like to war for your bride. When you were romancing her and you were dating her, you were courting her, you know what it was like to war for time so that you could have time with her. Don't stop now that you're married. This was not a stop romance symbol. This was a pursue intimacy forever symbol. The same with the Lord. When I got born again, he did not say, okay, you've got everything you need. He said, pursue me. Pursue my presence. Because I have needs that I don't even know about. But when I come into his presence, he brings revelation, he brings provision, he brings his glory, the three things that we're in this season in now, and he provides far more abundantly than we could ask or imagine. The third thing that Hebron teaches about intimacy is the clearest perspective is found at the place of intimacy. The clearest perspective is found at the place of intimacy. The higher you get, the better you can see. If you were in the army, you didn't go to the valley to see what the enemy was doing, right? You went to the high place so you could see what was happening. As you climb, you find how much different things look the higher you go. You find that that forest fire wasn't really a forest fire, it was your neighbor burning his trash. You find that all of the little things that kept you from intimacy with the Lord were just that, little foxes attempting to spoil the vine. They were not the giants in your path. You realize things are not really what they look like, and when you looked at them from the ground level, they looked a lot bigger than when you ascend and worship in that place of intimacy with the Lord and you begin to see them from his perspective. It's the difference of the 10 spies and Joshua and Caleb. They allowed the Lord to take them to the high place. How do you think Caleb knew about Hebron and asked for it 40 years later? They allowed the Lord to take them at that high place and see as he saw, not as the 10 spies who only wanted to look from the perspective of their height. The more that you connect with God and the more that you press into intimacy with him in this season, you will go to the highest, most intimate place of worship any of us has ever encountered. He is doing Revelation 5 all over again. Come up here. Revelation 4. Come up here. Come up here. Come up here. And what did John see? He saw a door opened. The more we press in, that's where he wants to take us to, individually and corporately as a region, into those places of revelation and intimacy. Perspective will come and we will see more clearly than we have ever seen before as we pursue him at Hebron. David got to Hebron, but it was 13 years after he was prophesied over that he would be king. How many of us would have given up after a year? 13 years is about 18 minutes in God's time. It took 13 years for that prophecy, but it took 13 years for David to get to Hebron. His word was tested. How many of you have had your prophetic words tested? Well, I guess that's not God. I'm just going to leave it on the shelf. It's just too much testing for me. Well, I got news for you. If it's a word of God, it will get tested and it will get tried before it bears fruit. Saul turned against David, the very one who David was called in to comfort. And David found himself fleeing and living in caves, not palaces. Many of us would say, but God, you called me to be at the Hyatt Regency. You didn't call me to be at the Motel 6. You called me to this, not to that. David never complained. He pursued the Lord in worship. David was persecuted. That doesn't mean that they took his parking spot at work. He was sought after. The nation was turned against him by the king. David must have wondered at times, would he ever be king? And just like us, David was human and probably began to second guess himself and the prophet at times. That's probably where some of those psalms came from, where he began to sing out of the faithfulness of the Lord. David had a difficult path. The final doubt may have come when David finally got on the throne, because instead of ruling over all of Israel, he was ruling over two tribes. While Ish-bosheth, Saul's son, which means man of shame, was on the throne over the 10 tribes of Israel. A worthless, shameful man had no right to the throne, but was elevated to the highest place that God said belonged to David. David was given a little corner of the kingdom at Hebron. Once you get to that high place, you learn that things are not as they seem. That may be what's happening to many of you right now. You're at a place where you're pressing in. You know the friendship of God, but things aren't exactly what they seem, and they're not what God has said they will be. It looks like the enemy has stolen your place. It looks like those around you should not rule or be in charge. I have been there. It looks sometimes like the ecclesia is not ever going to get to the throne. Don't give up. You have the answers that the world needs. It looks like we will never get to Jerusalem or climb the hill of Zion. That's where David longed to be. But now he is at Hebron. See, once you get to the high place of Hebron, you begin to see things clearly. You realize that even though it doesn't look like the ecclesia is going to make it to the throne and rule and legislate and war and do the things that we need to do as a nation, I say to you today that from the perspective of Hebron, you're going to see those days of Ish-bosheth are numbered. A prophetic word came forth, as I told the group last night, out of the Pentecost festival in Corinth, that if you will vote your conscience, you will see the Lord pull down and raise up. We're already beginning to see that in some of the other nations of the world. But we have to see from Hebron's perspective that the Lord is not finished. As a matter of fact, he's allowed the enemy to play his hand at a faster pace to expose what his agenda is. Are we going to give up, or are we going to continue to pursue intimacy with the king and follow what he says to do? See, we're on the ultimate treasure hunt. You know, a lot of people think that treasure hunts are to go and do this and get this person saved. But in Father's eyes, the ultimate treasure hunt is to disciple nations. As an ecclesia, to rule and to reign and to disciple nations so that they look like heaven on earth. See, if you are at Hebron, you can see where we are going. That means you're not blinded by the media and every soothsayer that tries to tell you what's going on. You can see that the old system of Saul is being dealt with. The old system that has fought the ecclesia, that has warred against the prophetic and the apostolic, and has warred against intimacy with the king. You know, that's the greatest thing that's being warred against in the church right now. No time for intimacy. We're going to keep you busy. We're going to give you agendas. But don't try to get intimate with the King of Glory. This force of darkness has even warred against the Holy Spirit himself and tried to remove him from the ecclesia, from the church. And you see that happening more and more, where the one who will lead us in all truth is not even present in many denominations and congregations. And the truth has been replaced by a lie. That spirit is coming down. That old religious system is coming down, and it is going to be shaken off of its throne. We're going to legislate. We are a ruling body. All born-again believers in this region are the ruling body of Christ. And I decree in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that the religious spirit that has blinded the body of Christ in this region is now exposed. And I say you no longer can cover the eyes, the ears, and the senses of the people of God. I say that that spirit is now moved off of its throne. I say from this day forward, there will be a breaking out and a breaking forth of the body of Christ in the power and the authority of the Spirit of the Most High God, so that His glory is revealed in every sphere that molds culture in this region and this state and in this nation. And I say that the generations of the righteous in this region will rise up and begin to touch the nations of the earth with the glory of the kingdom of God. After God had finished what He wanted to do with David at Hebron, see, Father wanted to teach David about intimacy. And so he had him stay 7.5 years in Hebron. After he had finished, he moved David to Jerusalem, which pictures the ecclesia, or the throne of the king. You are the throne of the king. You can go back and listen to teachings earlier this year, but wherever you worship, you establish the throne of His presence. But David did not leave the intimacy behind him. He realized that that was the key to being king over Father's people. He took the Ark of the Covenant with him to Jerusalem. What David learned was Hebron is not a place. Hebron is an attitude of heart. Hebron is an attitude of heart. Your intimacy and friendship with God does not matter whether you are in your home or you are in another nation. It does not matter whether you are in your home fellowship or you are worshiping with brothers and sisters someplace else. It's an attitude of heart that I will pursue the intimacy and the friendship of God above all else. If you really understand friendship with God and intimacy with Him, you come to the point where you can take it with you everywhere you go. We've had people talk to us in the airport in places where we don't know anybody and just say, "Why are you smiling?" Well, the Lord just said something to me that had me chuckling. And I can't help but smile. That happened this morning during the time of prayer in here, and the instruments were playing, and I was just remembering the manna. Remember the manna? Every morning they had to collect just enough for that day. And I was remembering that yesterday, because Pentecost is over in Israel, they were enjoying cheesecake. So they went from manna to the other extreme. And I just started chuckling. But the Lord will use your chuckle and your smile to open an opportunity for you to share with someone, because you have had that fellowship and friendship with Him in a strange place. David discovered that the throne of grace is really the throne of dominion. That is what I think God is going to show us in this season, is that our dominion really comes out of His grace. I think we're going to be in meetings like this and like the ones that are going to take place this next weekend and the weekend after and the weekend after. Isn't it amazing? We get to worship our King and fellowship with brothers and sisters as often as we want. It may be somewhat confusing in the meetings, but the Holy Spirit is going to burst through that confusion. Do we worship now or do we war now? That's the confusion I'm talking about. See, it's out of the place of intimate worship, that gentle place of intimate worship where a song of war will be birthed. Because it's Father's intimate heart that actually defeats every enemy. Jesus Christ on the cross is the picture that we have. At the throne of grace, we will find ourselves making decrees and legislating before him, because we are going to find that it is the same throne of grace and dominion. We are going to go out and come in of one so effortlessly and into the other. We're going to go out of worship and into warfare, and into worship and out of worship and into warfare. We're going to move from one to the other so effortlessly that you will do this in your workplaces. You will do this in the supermarkets. And it's not going to be big hallelujah choruses. It's going to be you with intimate fellowship with the King of Glory. And all of a sudden he says, speak to that arm that it be healed. Speak to that person that's limping. Their back needs healing. And you're going to see the Lord move. We're going to see that we're going to be allowed to see the left hand and the right hand. We're going to see the scepter and we're going to see the sword. We're going to see the staff. We're going to see the rod. We're going to see that we are going to flow from these places very clearly. We're going to see revelation. The other thing to note, when David moved to Jerusalem, that he was challenged again. Everything wasn't hunky-dory, peachy-keen. Now he was promoted. He was king over all 12 tribes for 33 years. Isn't that amazing? His great-great-grandson Jesus ruled and reigned on the earth for 33 years. Yes, he did rule even as a baby. There was no one like him. We have this concept that when he became 30, all of a sudden he became who he was. From the moment he was knit together in his mother's womb, he was who he was. He was anointed, empowered by the Spirit of the Most High God at age 30. The enemies rose up against David again at Jerusalem. The Jebusites and then the Philistines tried to stop David. The Lord has clearly said in this season the battles will increase. How many of you have had more battles in the past 8 months? That's the season we're in. The Lord has said those battles will increase. Well, if the Lord tells us something, do we need to be afraid of him? No. He said the battles will increase, but victory will come more easily. Victory has come and will come and is coming more easily. I don't have to worry about, do I have to apply yesterday's strategy? I have to be in intimate fellowship with God. I have to be in that place of Hebron so that in my Jerusalem, I still have the heart attitude of being a friend of God and letting him tell me how he's going to bring me victory in the midst of this battle. The warfare will intensify, the Lord said, but victories are going to come more easily. I'm ready. The enemy is going to throw everything he has at the church because he does not want the church looking like Christ. The Lord did not take a lot of time to describe the battle with the Jebusites. It was a pretty quick description in Scripture. It seems as though the revelation David received was so simple and so easy, God showed him how to go in through the tunnels and deal with whatever needed to be dealt with and then to establish his throne there. That's the whole description we get in Scripture. It did not take a lot of effort to overthrow the Jebusites. A lot of times your enemies are going to be so arrogant and proud of who they are that the Lord's going to show you very clearly the linchpin that will undermine them, and all you have to do is go and pull it out, and they will deflate themselves. The Philistines came against David in the Valley of Rephaim, and that battle did not take a long effort. The Philistines came after David again, and David had to do something different. He had to wait and listen for the strategy of the Lord. See, when you're a friend of God, when you've been in your Hebron, you know his voice and you know when he says wait. You know that if he has not said yes, it doesn't mean go ahead. And if he hasn't said no, it doesn't mean go ahead. You know his yes and you know his no, and everything else in between is not him. Some of you are trying to decide, should I do this? Well, the Lord hasn't said no, so I guess I can. Well, guess what? That's presumption, and that's a sin. David waited on the Lord. And the Lord gave him a strategy. In this hour, the enemy is going to rise up with great intensity because he's very angry and very alarmed at what he sees happening. The church is beginning to stir. The exciting thing is that the generations after us, the 30-somethings and the 20-somethings and the teens, are getting excited about the things of the kingdom of God. And the enemy doesn't like that when the generations go to war together. Even though the enemy comes with great intensity, the battles are going to be easier and easier for us to win because we are fighting from that high place of understanding and revelation that's gained at Hebron, intimacy with the Lord. Don't be intimidated at the enemy who rises up against you. He's throwing all of the stuff at you that he can, but you have the blood of the cross of Christ. You will come to the point in this season where you will drive him away with simple phrases like, "Get thee behind me, Satan." You will look at the adversary and the adversity that's surrounding you and you'll say, "No!" with the authority of heaven. One word will cause the darkness to move. You have that authority in Christ. He hasn't reserved it for a few. He is not a respecter of persons. The enemy came against David. The Philistines were trying to stop him from taking his rightful place on the throne. He's moved from Hebron to Jerusalem, the place where everyone knew God wanted him to reign. And this is going to happen to us, so you need to be ready for the warfare that's coming. Not be intimidated. The enemy will use everything he can to try and intimidate you, even the governmental structures of man. We will win. It probably won't even look like what we thought it will look like, but it will look, taste, smell, and feel like his kingdom. The enemy came against David and in essence said, "We must stop this from happening." That's what the Antichrist spirit is saying. We can't let them move in the authority of Christ. We can't let them know that they are truly his sons and daughters. David defeated the Philistines, and then they came at him a second time. At the second battle that we see in 2 Samuel 5, verses 22 through 25, the Philistines came against David the same way. So you would have thought that you're going to do the same thing to defeat them, but when David inquired of the Lord said, "Don't do it the same way." How many of you have fallen into that, "I did it this way, I did it this way," and 40 years later your career is the same as it was 40 years ago? God said, I want you to wait and hear the sound in the trees, because when you hear the blowing sound in the trees, the wind of my spirit blowing, you will know that I have gone out before you. Time after time, the Lord is waiting to release his angels on your behalf. Time after time, the Lord is waiting to rout your enemies without you having to do anything but worship him and be intimate with him. You can read account after account in the lineage of David where angels went forth and slew the enemies of God. Here's what the Lord's saying to us. At Hebron, you learn to hear the sound. At the place of intimacy, at the place of worship, we learn the sound. We learn to hear the wind so that we can follow the sound when we go to war. The sound is so very important, and you can't learn that any place other than Hebron, the place of intimacy where your heart attitude becomes hungry for more of him. And then you can hear it in the midst of the roaring wind. You can hear it in the midst of the flaming furnace. You can hear that sound when Father needs to communicate with you, because you have practiced, let me put it this way, you have disciplined yourself, that's discipleship, in friendship and intimacy at Hebron. God has prepared a people in this hour. They know the sound of heaven. They know what God is up to just by the rumblings. They can hear vague sounds. They hear the sound of rain. They hear the sound of war. They hear the sound of weeping. They hear the sounds of laughter. They know when to pull the sword because they know the sound. They know when to decree. There is a sound that should become so familiar to you that when you hear that sound, you know exactly what Father wants you to do. You can only gain that sound at your Hebron. You can only attain that sound when you pursue intimacy with him. That sound is the voice of many waters. It is like the gentle voice of the Spirit of God that whispers. There is a people who have risen to the place where we know the sounds of heaven. There's a people in this region who know that intimate place of worship, that they hear the sounds of heaven, and it releases the anointing of the Lord to make declarations and decrees that are literally in the spirit realm changing the shape of this region, this state, and this nation. They are not deterred by the sounds coming out of Washington, New York, Los Angeles, or any other pit of hell. They are not deterred by the sounds of the whispering, the gossiping, and the complaining of the backslidden. They know the sound that they heard at Hebron. They know the sound, and they know the rustling, and they know the things that are happening in heaven, because they begin now to concentrate on the Holy One. There has never been a greater ability to navigate through the plans of the enemy than we see right now. The things that we are moving freely in now were fought for in the 1600s, the 1700s, the 1800s, the 1900s, and in the late 1900s, the things of deliverance were labored over, and now people are getting delivered quickly because people have understood intimacy and friendship with the Lord, and it's really that intimacy that delivers. That's the intimacy that delivered the Gadarene demoniac. No one could do it but the one who had intimacy with the Father. And when they faced Jesus, all 6,000 or 7,000 of them, depending on your theology, fled. And it's interesting that that is the only person that Jesus said, go and tell what I've done for you. Everyone else, he said, hush. Go do your religious duty, but don't tell anyone. Out of intimacy with the Father, deliverance becomes quicker and quicker. It seems like there is a fear of the Lord, and any time I speak, the fear of the Lord comes on me because I know that I'm going to be judged doubly at the day of judgment for teaching the word of the Lord. We need to embrace the seventh manifestation of the Spirit of God called the fear of the Lord in Isaiah 11:2 because he is the one that will keep us from wandering off that path of intimacy with our King. I want to stay in his presence. It seems so simple now to get in meetings, and even in the meetings where there's warfare, and as soon as the sound of heaven is released, we just move into that warfare and then back into worship and then back into the warfare, and things are being done and territory is being taken back, just like the giants were taken back. And the land was taken back at Hebron from what the giants stole from the descendants of Abraham. It's getting easier because we are tuning into his voice. See, when I tune out his voice and tune in everything to the world, I get anxious. But peace comes from the Prince of Peace. We know what to do. We know how to do it. It's just there. And you hear the sounds and you enter into it. There was a sound that was released in worship today. Sue stepped into that portal and the Lord used her. He desires to use you when you understand the sounds of intimacy with the Lord. I've been in meetings with prophets. I've been in meetings where the Lord has thundered. I've been in meetings where the Lord has displayed his majesty with lightnings. I've been in the meetings where you just had to be still and quiet. And that's very awkward for the body of Christ, to be still and quiet. And the Lord would say, just still your mind and listen. We all have to walk through that season of knowing when to speak, when to listen. I've been in meetings where I was envious of the word of God that was released in those times and authority was released. Many times it wasn't even through the people who were supposed to be doing the ministry. But God's not a respecter of persons. He will display his glory through vessels that are yielded to him. We have to learn to tune into the sound of the Spirit. We have to learn how to shut out every other sound so that we can get to that place of Hebron in our heart attitude. Passionately pursues him. Once you get to that high point, you can easily hear the whispers of heaven. I want you to go here tonight. I want you to say to this one the phrase that he gives you. And you go there, and all of a sudden this person that you don't even know shows up, and you speak the word the Lord gave them. And it's like a lock is open for them because he's told them to show up. We are going to hear so clearly in this hour. We're going to think the thoughts of God so continually that we're going to find ourselves having trouble tuning it out so that we can concentrate on the things that we need to get done in the earth. I like that problem. Usually the other way around is we get so consumed by the things of the earth that we have trouble tuning him in. You cannot rule from Zion if you do not know the sound. You cannot take a nation if you do not know the sound. You cannot war successfully if you do not know the sound. It's the sound of heaven, and you can only learn to hear that in your Hebron. The sounds of heaven are coming to earth. Listen to the voice. Find your place of Hebron and begin to discipline yourself to wait on him. He will speak to you. The sound of war is in the heavens. The sound of shifting thrones is in the heavens. Remember, I said this was from back in February, and the Lord is shifting the thrones in the earth. At Passover, he shifted the apostolic governments in the heavens and did a new alignment of government in the heaven. And now he's beginning to do it in the elections in the earth realm. Does that mean that everybody that's elected is going to be born again? No. It means that he is putting down those that have not honored him at his word. He's giving us the opportunity to war so that we might get people who are open to his word. The roar of Zion is being heard. Do you know that when you cry out, heaven responds? At least one person does. I know that when I cry out, heaven responds. The roar of Zion is being heard in the far corners, in the far regions, and even the dark places are trembling at the sounds of heaven. As the word came forward this morning, he's desiring to use you and me as vessels of his glory. Vessels that he can send and pour out in one area and then another area and wherever he calls you to go. But first and foremost, he is calling you to Hebron, the high place of intimacy and friendship with the Lord. Some of us have attempted to go there and got stalled. Some of us have made it there and haven't known what to do. Some of us haven't even begun. But today the Lord says, all of us can begin to go there again. If you want to get to that place, your Hebron with the Lord, stand to your feet. I want to pray for you. Lord, you said that your sons and your daughters would be vessels of your glory to go to the ends of the earth and to disciple nations so that they would begin to look like heaven on earth, that the nations would be taught in the ways of your kingdom, that they would be discipled in the ways of your word, that they would be reflecting the culture of heaven in the earth. Lord, we cannot do that on our own. And as my brothers and sisters have stood, Lord, they are heirs of righteousness. By the blood that you shed for them, Lord Jesus, you have purchased them, you have purchased their past, and you have released the lock on their future. Lord, they desire intimacy with you. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would show them in this day, before the sun rises again, their Hebron. That you will show them the place of intimacy and meeting with you, and that you will show them that it is their heart. Lord, I ask that you would give them an attitude of heart that is so desirous of you that you have to tell them when to go back into the things of the earth. Lord, I ask that you would take those who have fallen short in their trial and you would breathe on them your healing grace. I break the shame and the despair and the disappointment off of them now. I break every whisper and lie and innuendo of the enemy that they could not make it. And I say they can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens them. Holy Spirit, you said that you would lead them in all truth. And I ask that you would lead them to the place, the high place of revelation, intimacy, and fellowship with you. Father God, for those who have not yet begun the journey, I ask that you would speak to them in the next 24 hours and you would show them the height and the breadth and the depth of your love all over again. That you would show them the place where you desire to embrace them in the love and the intimacy of fellowship in Christ Jesus, that they would be one with you even as you in Christ Jesus are one. And that in that oneness, O Lord, they will hear the sound of your voice. They will hear the intimacy of the revelation of your love. And they will know when you say go, and they will know when you say stand, and they will know when you say to war, and they will know when you say to worship, and they will be vessels, even as scalpels in your hand, to bring healing and to cut away the chaff. Lord, that they will be vessels of harvest and that they will be instruments of war. That they will be vessels of compassion and they will be instruments of grace. Lord, show us our Hebron and draw us closer to you. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would whisper to them in their intimate place and reveal to them in all of their senses that they are your friend. Amen and amen. I love you. Enjoy your Memorial Day and remember those who have gone.